It is no stretch to say that that song goes with my lesson this morning, David.
Brother Jimmy read for us from the book of Ephesians, where the Apostle Paul tells those brethren, and through that letter we ourselves are told, that if we read, we can understand his understanding of what God has revealed. He told the Ephesian brethren, if you read, you can understand my insight. That tells me that we can understand the Word of God the same way that the Apostle Paul did. Yet, when we look out at the world around us, we find that there are so many different understandings of the Word that it just looks like the entire community of people that believe in the Bible are just a bunch of big fragments scattered here and there across the landscape. The world around us is evident because of all the various different religious organizations that are out there. It makes it very evident that we don't all see the Bible in the same way. And there should be a reason for that. Certainly there is a reason for that. And we want to consider some of those reasons as we consider some things this morning. But to begin with, we want to emphasize that unity was desired. Here Paul said, you read and you'll understand what I understand. When Jesus prayed to the Father in John chapter 17, he prayed for unity, not just of those that were his apostles, but for all those that would believe what his apostles preached. He wanted the hearers to believe the same thing that the speakers believed, which was the same thing that he and the Father understood and knew. Paul pleaded with the Corinthian brethren, do not be divided, but be united. Don't follow after this man or that man. Don't look and say, I understand what Peter says, but I don't understand what Paul's talking about. They're both saying the same thing. Be united on the Word of God. In fact, I'm convinced that if people understand the Bible at all, they will all understand it as one. Because the Bible is one book. One continuous story, one continuous message from beginning to end. And if we understand the Bible, we're all going to understand it the same. We're told in the Ephesian letter, just a little later on in chapter 4, there's one body, one spirit, just as you were also called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And as we've just been studying in the book of Hebrews, God speaks to everyone today through the same spokesman, His Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, we must be able to understand. Certainly, we should recognize that the Bible is understandable. We talked about this in other lessons. We talked just a few weeks ago about how when we look at the New Testament Scriptures, there's one of two conclusions we can draw. Either it's the truth, or it's a very carefully orchestrated lie. We talked about that on a Sunday night just not too long ago. And because of the message and the way it's presented, that's the only choices we have. And if we accept it as the truth, then it itself claims to be understandable. In John 7 and verse 17, Jesus said, if anyone is willing to do His will, he will know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak for myself. In other words, if you want to know, you can, because it is understandable. In chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, Jesus saying to the Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." The Bible claims to be understandable. It is the revealed message of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 through 13, "Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God." Why? "So that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words." What do you mean, Paul? God revealed to us His Word so we would know His Word. We speak to you what God revealed so you can know what God wants. It's understandable. When you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. But beyond just that, just the justice of God requires that the Bible be understandable. Because of what the Scripture calls for us to do, and because the Scripture calls down punishment upon those that do not understand and believe, those who do not follow, it would be unjust for God to punish someone who could not understand what he was supposed to be following. Certainly we recognize in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, that not all will enter into the kingdom of heaven, not just because we cry out, "Lord, Lord," but the one who does the will of the Father in heaven. How can we do the will of the Father in heaven if we don't know what that will is? We're going to be held accountable for living in accordance with His will. Therefore, justice demands that His will be understandable. We don't hold people accountable for things that they cannot understand. We either help them to come to an understanding, or we don't require it of them. We don't require things of our younger children that we require of our older children. Why? Because they don't fully understand all the things that would be involved. I mean, just a simple thing. We don't even require people to drive automobiles until they learn something about the automobile. Or we try not to anyway. Sometimes they sneak off and try anyway. But, you know, we want them to know something about it before we give them that responsibility. Jesus said, "The one that rejects Him and does not receive His sayings has one that judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him in the last day." If we're going to be judged by the word, we need to understand the word. How can we obey that which we do not understand? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. The Apostle Paul encouraging the Thessalonian brethren there by telling them that those that have been oppressing them will suffer the consequences. "After all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted as well, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." God's justice demands that His word be understandable. Peter told Cornelius and those who had gathered there, "I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation the man who fears Him and does what is right is welcome to Him. Only an unjust God would hold a man accountable for obeying a law that could not be understood. But also God's power demonstrates that the word is understandable. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." If the gospel is the power of God to salvation, are you telling us that the power of God is not powerful enough to write a gospel that we can understand? Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, "Know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." Is God not powerful enough to make His message comprehensible, understandable? Does He not have the power to preserve? There are some that would tell us, well, this word that we have today, we can't be certain that it's what God said. And it's been changed so much and adjusted so many times and so many different versions and all that we just can't. Are you telling me God, who had the power to deliver salvation to mankind, doesn't have the power to make sure His word is still true? God can't work in a manner that allows the translation from one language to another to be an equivalent, understandable message? At what point in history did the power of God become so weak that He couldn't see to it that His word was preserved? I can't stand with any of those. God has the power to deliver man from sin. He had the power to create the world. He had the power to raise the dead. He's got the power to preserve His word. He's got the power to make it understandable. There's no reason for us to believe the word is not understandable. In fact, there is nothing about the word of God as we have it available to us today that cannot be understood in such a way that a man can know salvation. Nothing wrong with the word. It's understandable. It claims to be. God's justice demands that it is. And His power proves that it is. So why are there so many different understandings of the word today? Why are there so many people that tell you that's just what you think, that's not what I think? Well, for the same reason that Christ was rejected by the Jews, Jesus was rejected by the Jews because of prejudice. And I'm convinced that's one of the reasons we have such a problem with people understanding the word today. Prejudice. Deciding beforehand what they believe. That's basically what prejudice means, to prejudge. That's like my sister, when we were younger, saying she didn't like apple pie, but she'd never eaten apple pie. She prejudged apple pie. She came to her senses after she ate some, but she decided she didn't like apple pie without ever even trying it. She had prejudged. That's what happens with the Word of God. People look at it, I don't want to believe it. It's too fantastic. Why? It's got people claiming to be performers of miracles in it. That can't be. People raised from the dead. People held accountable. I just can't believe it. If God was going to write a word for us, He wouldn't write that word. If God loves us, He'd let us do whatever we want. Have we ever heard any of those kind of statements? Those are statements that indicate prejudice. A determining that the Word of God is not for me before I even take a look at it. Jesus faced the same thing. It was the prejudice against Christ that caused the Jews to reject Him. In Matthew chapter 13 we read, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has grown dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them.'" They didn't want to believe. therefore they did not. You search the Scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify to me, and you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. Note that. You are unwilling. It doesn't fit your narrative. It's not what you want. They saw the miracles. They heard the parables. We studied through the early ministry of Jesus in the regions around Galilee and in Jerusalem, and we've seen how many heard and saw the things He did, and yet they still rejected Him. They still would not come. That's why in Matthew chapter 23 we read, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate, for I say from now on, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The fault was not with Christ, and the fault is not with the Scripture. It's in the hearts and attitudes of those who are hearing and seeing. They've closed their ears, shut off their hearts, and blinded their eyes. Because it doesn't fit their narrative. Paul gives a warning to the Thessalonian brethren in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, that we need to be careful about trying to make the Scripture say what we want it to say. "For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness." In other words, God will let us indulge our prejudice. He won't force us to listen. He'll let us go ahead and believe a lie. We need to be careful of prejudice. We need to be aware that many of those that we might approach with the Word of God are prejudiced against the Word of God to begin with. And if we cannot overcome that prejudice, we're never going to convert. We're never going to convince them. We need to understand that one of the ways that we can overcome that prejudice is through love and care and concern and living the kind of life that the Scriptures describe for us to live before others. That's how we can begin to change those attitudes. By showing them the kind of life that can be had by submitting to the will of God. One of the other things that caused Christ to be rejected and is also a problem with understanding the Word of God is the traditions and teachings of men. The Jews rejected Christ because He didn't fit their picture. And yes, that was their prejudice, but it was because of the picture they had developed of who the Christ was going to be and what He was going to be all about. "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men, neglecting the commandment of God. You hold the traditions of men." Mark chapter 7, verse 6 through 9. They had an idea of what the Messiah was going to do. They had their idea and their plans about how they ought to live their life in order to be pleasing unto God. And Jesus didn't fit these. Why? His servants ate without washing their hands first. He healed on the Sabbath day. Why? He told a guy to get up and carry his bed. They had all sorts of righteous instructions that they adhered to that Jesus didn't fit. That's why Paul would later, when he wrote the Roman letter in Romans chapter 10, say, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God." Paul said, "I plead to God that my brethren, the Israelites, will come to know Him, but they're so focused on their own ideas that they can't see God's plain plan. And until they turn loose of their own ideas, they're never going to accept the Word of God. If we go and read from the Scriptures today with preconceived notions, with our own plans and understanding of how things ought to be, we're not going to understand the Scripture. Because Jesus didn't come in royal garments with a great army as a king going to conquer the Romans, the Jews rejected him. Because he didn't come out of the leadership of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the lawyers and follow their plans and their instructions to the letter, they rejected him. And he was crucified. And the same thing is true of those who misunderstand the Word of God today because it doesn't fit their ideas. Because they have been taught this is the way things ought to be. Where does it tell us that love means we never discipline anyone? Where do we learn that to love one another means we let each other just do whatever we want to do and still pat each other on the back and say, attaboy, good way to do. We don't learn it from the Scripture. We learn it from the teachings and ideas of men. Where do we learn that it's okay to do some things that we really like to do as long as we say we're doing them to serve God? Like, I don't know, have bands perform in our worship services or open up soup kitchens or band together so we can put all our funds together in one place, no matter what congregation we may be a part of, so that we can go out and do great and wonderful works. Those are the teachings and commandments of men. And if we hold to those things while we go and read from the Word of God, God will allow us to be deluded with the lie that is the teachings and traditions of men. But the fault is not in the Scripture. Just because that's the way my mama always did it doesn't make it right. Along the same lines, false teachers cause people to not understand the Scripture. Jesus said, every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They're blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into the pit. Jesus, as we're beginning to see even more and more in our studies on Wednesday evening, spent a lot of time rebuking false teachers and false prophets and dealing with those who were asking him hard questions, trying to turn the multitudes away from him. They ask him, where's his authority come from? They ask him, what's the great commandment? All sorts of things. Who's my neighbor? We just looked at a few weeks ago. Because they wanted to turn the crowds away from Christ and back to them. Multitudes today are putting their confidence in men who are not teachers of the gospel. Sometimes because it fits their thoughts and their ideas. Sometimes because they've just got caught up in the pomp and circumstance of what's involved. Paul told the Corinthian brethren, even Satan himself, God disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it's no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. Most of us here this morning can probably look back over the history and see some areas where there were men who were followed diligently by various ones who were proven later on to be frauds, only in it for themselves. Yet people still followed him because they told them what they wanted to hear. Remember what Paul told Timothy and Titus, both in various ways? In particular, there's going to come a time when people will follow after those that will scratch their itching ears. We're told, do not believe every spirit, but try the spirits. Test them to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world by the Apostle John. And even in the days of the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Galatian brethren, he said, I'm amazed you're so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of God for a different gospel. Which is not another. But there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we preach to you, he's to be accursed. As we've said before, so say we now again, if anyone, any man preaches to you a gospel contrary to what you receive, he's to be accursed. Even in the days of the Apostle Paul, there were those who were turning men away from the gospel for their own designs and devices. They were disturbing simply so they could disturb the gospel, distort the word of God, and turn men away. Why? Because they were agents of Satan. They were false teachers. One other reason. And I'm convinced that this is the reason for the other three oftentimes. Ignorance. And not that I think people are dumb, but just people don't know. Or another side of this is unconcern. Therefore, they don't investigate. There are many who are following after false teachers, who are following the traditions of men because it's sufficient to make them feel good, and they don't want to put the effort into trying to find out whether it's true or not. It soothes their minds. What? I'm doing righteous things, therefore I'm serving God. And I'm afraid there are many that we would see as some of the Lord's people while here upon earth today that are going to miss heaven because they're not concerned enough to investigate whether they're actually following the will of God or not. They just happen to be following the Word of God because the group that they're gathered with from time to time is following the Word of God. They're not devoted. They don't understand the will. But there are also those who are in the denominations, those who are not a part of any religious organization that are there simply because they've not investigated. They've not looked. They've not tried or tested. Ignorance. Just like the Jews who rejected Christ. I know you acted in ignorance just as your rulers also did, Peter told them in Acts chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, the Apostle Paul says, we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages for our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the glory of God. The Lord of glory. They crucified Christ because of ignorance. Because they didn't know who he was. Because they weren't willing to investigate fully and determine. They didn't want to put the effort into finding out. They were satisfied with someone else telling them what was and how it ought to be. I I honestly believe that a great majority of the people have honest and good hearts, but they've never investigated the Bible for themselves. They're misled by false teachers. They're misled by traditions. They're prejudiced against some passages in the Word of God simply because they've not taken the time to investigate for themselves. And there are many who are going to be lost because they were just willing to accept what the preacher had to say. We need to be more like the Bereans who investigated to see whether the things that Paul was preaching to them were so or not. Rather than just rejecting them outright like the Jews in Thessalonica did, the Jews in Berea actually went and looked through the Scriptures and said, hey, he's telling us what the Scriptures say. He's right. It's not enough to cry out, Lord, Lord. We must do the will of the Lord. In order to do the will of the Lord, we've got to read and we've got to study it. We've got to come to an understanding of it. We've got to read so we can understand Paul's insight. And yes, Paul reveals his insight there, that the Gentiles will be saved as well. But if we don't read, we're not going to understand that. We're not going to know the gospel. And history tells us that ignorance brings about separation from God and brings about destruction. Hosea said a long time ago, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. If you go and read in the early history of the nation of Israel, they were told time and time again, read the Word. Read it to your children. Write it on your garments. Carry it around with you. Have it in your hearts. Talk to one another about it. Discuss it with your children. Discuss it with your neighbors. Talk about it while you're going on the way. Spend time with the Word of God. And then we read in the book of Judges how once the generation that was contemporary with Joshua passed away, there arose a generation that knew not God. Why? Because they didn't take the time to read it. Their parents didn't read it to them. Their grandparents didn't read it to them. They were ignorant of the Word, and as a result, they brought shame and reproach upon their nation. They were oppressed by the nations around them, and God raised somebody up to get them out and straighten them up, and then they forgot God and went away again. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being my priest. Since you've forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Folks, that's not just a pronouncement on the nation of Israel. That very well could be a pronouncement upon us today. Because we don't take the time to read and study the Word of God. And teach it to others. Yes, many reasons for a misunderstanding of the Word of God today. But they all boil down, I'm convinced, to an unwillingness or an unconcern that keeps people from investigating the Word. I'm convinced one of the best things that we can do for ourselves as children of God and for reaching the lost of this world is to spend more time reading and talking about God's Word. We all need to have the same understanding. The Apostle Paul told those Gentiles and Jews that he was writing to there in the city of Ephesus that if they would read what he had written to them,
they would understand what God had revealed to him. And the same thing is true of us today. If we will spend time reading from the Word of God, if we will encourage others to read from the Word of God, they can understand God's plan. But it starts with each one of us spending more time in the Word. And I know I say that to somebody who says, I'm already reading every day. I read as much as I possibly can. Well, do you think about it when you're doing other things? Do you talk to other people about the Word of God? The more time we spend with God's Word, the better we're going to understand it. Learned that lesson recently. In fact, a couple of decades ago, I used to work on cars, and I could help people with cars. Someone's been calling with some problems he's been having with this car lately. And I finally had to tell him just the other day, I said, I've been away from that stuff so long, I don't have an understanding of it anymore. Why? I haven't been associated with it. Have we left the Bible laying on the coffee table or standing in the bookcase so long that we don't understand it anymore? We have friends who have a misunderstanding of the Bible, and we start trying to explain it to them, and what we should be doing is say, okay, here, read this for yourself. One of the first things that you learn when you start talking to somebody about personal work, you need to carry a Bible, if possible, one that matches yours, so when you sit down with somebody to talk to them, they can open it up for themselves and read it on their own. Ignorance is going to send a lot of people to hell. And ignorance is the one thing that can be helped. It's one of the things that can be helped. We can help people to know the Word of God if we know it ourselves. You want to stand on the promises instead of just sitting on the premises? Understand the Word of God. Know where it is. Know what it's about. And you can go to heaven. And you can take others with you. Look diligently into your own heart and your own mind this morning and ensure that you are open to understanding the Word of God, that you're desiring to understand the Word of God, and that you're making it an active part of your life each and every day. If you're not a child of God, we urge you to read the Word, to understand what God has done for you and what God expects of you, so that you can find the salvation that He has provided for all mankind. And when you do that, we urge you to take action upon the Word of God. Not just hearing, but believing and obeying. Confessing your belief in Jesus as the Son of God. Turning from your sins and from the world and giving your life over to the Lord. You can be buried in baptism and have your sins washed away through the blood of Jesus Christ. Rise up out of that watery grave, a new creature, a child of God. If you've done that in the past, you realize that you've strayed. It's time to correct things. You confess to God your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And if we as a congregation can assist you in that, we encourage you to come while we stand and sing.